Good morning. This is 88.3 WLIW FM local news. I'm Michael Mackey. The Sag Harbor School District's plans to acquire 4 adjoining parcels of land for sale on nearby Marsden Street with a combination of capital reserve funds and money from the Southampton Town Community Preservation Fund represent a unique joint effort between a local school district and the town to create a new athletic and recreational facility that would benefit both students and residents. But it is not entirely without precedent. Kaylin Riley reports on 27East.com that the proposal is for the CPF to kick in $6 million to help pay for the lots on Marsden Street, while the school district will pay the $2.58 million balance of the purchase price. There are questions about whether CPF money should be used to subsidize a school district purchase, the town of Southampton will become a co-owner, and whether it is in the spirit of what the CPF was intended to be and do. The Sag Harbor School District is also planning on buying another lot on Marsden Street, roughly 3/4 of an acre on the other side of the street, with a sale price of $700,000, entirely with capital reserve funds to be combined with the 4 other lots for the project. The Sag Harbor School District sought to acquire the parcels with an eye toward building a new athletic facility, likely a playing field for its soccer and field hockey programs, and potentially an outdoor track that would supplement both the natural grass playing field located directly behind the high school and the athletic facilities it has used for decades at Mashashamua Park to host baseball, softball, field hockey, and soccer games. The next step in the process is a CPF public hearing on October 11th and a vote on November 3rd. A $27 million project to overhaul Exit 53 of the Long Island Expressway is finally underway and is expected to reduce congestion while providing an easier route to shopping and recreational destinations in various communities, according to officials. Lorena Mangelli reports on Newsday.com that a proposal to provide a direct link from the expressway to Crooked Hill Road while easing traffic in Brentwood and beyond was first floated in 2019. The plan was ultimately given the green light and was awarded to H&L Contracting, LLC, based in Hopog, which began clearing the area this week, according to Mark Herbst, executive director of the Long Island Contractors Association. According to a 2019 Newsday article, construction was predicted to start in 2020 and wrap up by this year. Now expected to be completed next year, motorists heading in either direction on the Long Island Expressway near Exit 53 will have 2 new off-ramps for direct access to Crooked Hill Road. This means faster trips to multiple locales, including Crooked Hill Commons and Comac Shopping Center, both in Smithtown and Suffolk County Community College. More transparency means more money for police officers as the Southampton Town Police Department nears the rollout of its body camera program. Kitty Merrill reports on 27East.com that last week, Southampton Town Supervisor Jay Schneiderman announced an agreement had been reached with the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, the union that represents Southampton Town's police officers, that will pave the way for every officer to be outfitted with a body camera. "We've been working on this for a year," Schneiderman said. Replicating cost of living changes recently made to the Southampton Town Civil Service Employees Association contract, he agreed to boost police pay by some $2,500 over the next 3 years. Officers will get a $1,000 increase in base pay, retroactive to this past July 1st, and they will be wearing the cameras soon. While Long Island's overall poverty rates are far lower than the nation's and its median income much higher than the national median, the latest U.S. Census data masks a great need among some residents, local experts said. Quote, "We have 1/3 of the households across Long Island who are the working poor, earning less than $35,000 a year, which is above the poverty level," said Teresa Regnante, president and chief executive of the United Way of Long Island. "So we have a major, major group of families who are in desperate and dire situations in an area known for a high cost of living." The official poverty line threshold nationwide for a family of two adults and two children was $27,479. Olivia Winslow and Ariel Martinez report on Newsday.com that the poverty rate for Nassau County was 5.8% in 2021, not a statistically significant difference from the 5.4% rate in 2019, according to the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey released today. Suffolk County's poverty rate was 6.1% in 2021, compared with 6.5% in 2019. And like Nassau, the change was deemed not statistically significant by the Bureau. Using a different survey, Bureau officials reported the national poverty rate was 11.6% in 2021. The median household income in both Nassau and Suffolk topped $100,000. According to the Bureau's survey, the medians are far above the national median of $70,700. New York State public school students will continue to be allowed to graduate with lower test scores this school year, thanks to a recent decision by state education officials. Kayla Bamberger in the New York Post reports that the New York State Board of Regents approved an amendment Tuesday extending a pandemic-era emergency policy that allowed kids to appeal failing Regents scores in order to get their diplomas. Quote, "This sends the wrong message to students and families beginning one of the most important school years in recent history," said Dia Bryant, executive director of Education Trust New York, a statewide policy and advocacy group. More than 400 letters and a petition with 70 signatories were sent to the state opposing the measure, according to a rep for Ed Trust, which led the campaign. The nonprofit urged the state to use COVID aid to better support students at risk of not graduating instead of making it easier to graduate. The state education department has pushed back on criticism that reworking graduation requirements, including by letting kids with failing Regents scores of at least 50 appeal, involves lowering standards. A new commission has been formed to address this with Bryant on it. Riverhead Town officials want to reduce parking time limits on Main Street from 2 hours to 1 hour to increase the flow of the downtown area. The Riverhead Town Board last week scheduled a public hearing on an amendment to parking rules downtown. Alec Lewis reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the amendment would affect parking on Main Street from Ostrander to Osborne Avenues, except for certain marked stalls with 15-minute time limits. It would also remove the 30-minute time limit on the west side of Union Avenue. The public hearing is scheduled for the board's regular meeting on October 4th at 2 p.m. Deputy Town Attorney Danielle Hurley said future parking code amendments will increase time limits in municipal lots north and south of Main Street in Riverhead. That'll encourage people to park for longer periods in those further lots. Reading has been more than fundamental for Barnes & Noble. It also has been more profitable for the book retailer since its sale in 2019 and because of consumers' changing habits during the COVID-19 pandemic, so much so that the once-struggling chain is opening 16 new stores this year, including one in Riverhead. Quote, "As sales and profits have risen, so has its ability to invest in refurbishments of its existing stores and in the opening of new bookstores. In short, the expansion is being spurred by its success," Barnes & Noble told Newsday this week. Torianne Parrish reports on Newsday.com that the Riverhead store, which will be Barnes & Noble's 8th Long Island location, will open on or around November 2nd at 1470 Old Country Road in Riverhead and employ 15 to 20 people, the retailer said. Pier 1 Imports vacated the space in 2020 after the home decor chain's parent company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The renovation work is underway for the bookstore, which is 10,811 square feet, said Nancy Erickson, an executive managing director and broker at real estate firm Colliers International, who represents Riverhead Center's landlord in leasing. Barnes & Noble is the only nationwide chain of brick-and-mortar bookstores left in the United States. For several years before being sold in 2019, the Manhattan-based retailer struggled as fewer people bought books and e-commerce giant Amazon, the largest retail seller of books worldwide, chipped away at bookstore sales and Barnes & Noble's profitability. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.